Hello, hello, and welcome to year two. Let me try that one more time.
That was terrible. Terrible really, two.
Yeah, there we go. There
terrible
it
twos.
It kind of came in. I wasn't really sure what I was going to say.
It's good.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Episode 53, year two.
What?
We got Will Meadows in the house.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
And Ryan Pills.
All in the house.
Man, a year. That's pretty exciting.
Kevin and Melissa are back.
Yeah, welcome back. We missed you guys.
And they can almost talk again.
Yeah. Almost.
Part of our voices.
Yeah. Man, can you believe it's been year two already?
It went faster than I would have ever meant.
Crazy.
It really did. I'm sorry that you guys didn't get to join in on the memories. If you have any amazing year one memories, you can just
You guys did some really good, like, when you guys were talking, I was like, those are some really good memories.
Yeah. I was pretty pumped. It was a nice little reminiscent moment.
Yeah.
How many games are we looking at this week, Sarah?
So this week we are talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of August 20th, 2018.
Ooh. So what should we start off with?
So many things. You guys went somewhere awesome. We went somewhere awesome. You guys just came from somewhere awesome.
Yes. Did our we? House.
And a mystical world, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. Studio awesome.
Exactly.
Here we go.
Well, Melissa and I just got back from Gen Con.
Whoop, whoop. That was cool.
Actually, I guess a little over a week ago, but
I'm pretty jealous. I saw lots of amazing photos.
Yes.
Walk us through the 10,000 foot view.
I wish you all were there because everyone was saying hi to us and like, where's everyone? We couldn't do as much as we wanted to do because you guys weren't helping us
review
do more
coverage
things.
And stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we were volunteering for Czech Games Edition, and there were people that stopped by and said hi there. We saw people in the hall. Our fans are awesome. It was so good to see you.
We were eating lunch, and someone came by and said hi.
Yeah.
He was a little, like, shy. Awesome. Like, he didn't want to interrupt. But he's like, I saw you. I saw the hat.
Yeah.
Kevin's hat.
Where's the hat, Kevin?
Wearing. But, you know, he was really nice. Took a selfie.
Cool.
That.
Awesome.
It was great.
It's a lot of fun.
So one of the first things we did was go to the CMON media event.
Oh, cool.
And had a good time seeing all the CMON people there and seeing some of the even newer things, even newer than what we saw at CMON Expo.
Oh,
so
wow.
Some new things that are coming out for this new year. So some Kickstarter things and some games that'll just go straight to retail.
Yeah, Victorian Masterminds I think is going to be pretty big. It's Eric Lang and
Rob Davio.
Anton Bauza.
Oh, Anton Bauza.
Have we seen that one? I feel like I've seen box art or something.
You might
see
box art. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get to play it or just?
Yeah, we played. Okay, cool. I played a few rounds of it. It was cool.
With Eric Lang.
Wow. That's the way to do it if you're going to do it.
And that's the reason why last episode he did a happy birthday anniversary to us.
Cool.
I was like, hey, can you eat that first? So that was nice for him to do that. And had Gizmo sold out.
Yeah,
there.
That was
a pretty hot game. There's lots of hot games, Melissa.
Yeah, some of the really popular games were Root, which was just
Root.
Yes. For people watching, we have one of the little plushies of Root, and we're going to do a video at some point.
It's soft.
Let me touch it.
The raccoon.
Everyone was talking about Root, Detective from Portal Games sold out.
That
was really big.
Dice Tower.
Rise of Fenris and My Little Scythe.
I got to see Jamie Stegmaier.
Big. And then, of course, some of the ones that were big at Origins were big again at Gen Con, like Reef and Coimbra and Welcome to... what else, Kevin?
Well, man, we got to set up a lot of meetings with people, like where we just mentioned Rise of Fenris, and we mentioned My Little Scythe. We got to see Jamie and spend some time.
Good.
And there's a game that we can't talk about that Melissa and I will be reviewing soon.
And we've played, right? Is this the one we're talking about?
Yes,
that's
what
we're talking about.
Yes. And so excited about that.
Very excited about this one.
Yes. Got to see some of our sponsors. Game Toppers, if you're watching on Facebook, we're actually sitting around one of the Game Toppers that from Berkey, and got to see him, and he's doing, I mean, there were Game Toppers everywhere.
I think we should point out that we didn't used to live Facebook feed our YouTube video or our podcast recordings.
Yes.
And I think there were two reasons for that. One is none of us wanted to be attractive when we were podcasting. And two was my living room setup was trash.
That's
true. We were sitting around a crappy folding table and looked gross.
It was like a cardboard box.
We're sitting on apple crates. The fact that this is here is half of the reason that we were like, let's show it off.
That's pretty cool. So,
table makes us look better.
Yeah, so we thank Game Toppers for it.
And
the table makes me look better.
Okay.
And we also saw Bezier Games there, too. So
very cool.
Hopefully them and other sponsors will join in, because I got to share with a lot of people. I was handing out those Tantrum Con bookmarks left and right. I had it in my back. I had a whole stack in my back pocket. All the time. It was like Tantrum Con February 2019, Tantrum Con February 19, TensionCon.
We made these cool bookmark things that have the date and the website on it. And did you do what we talked about doing? Because that's what you needed to do.
Oh, I should have, but I didn't, because I was actually working for a CGE every day. And
we talked about like climbing up to the balcony that overlooks that card Valhalla
and taking the 5,000 TensionCon bookmarks and just like dumping them in the air. That'd be cool.
That would have been.
Then I've gotten in trouble.
You would have gotten in trouble.
Kevin gets kicked out of Gen Con. Speaking of Bezier, their Legacy, Ulta, the Werewolf Legacy game was pretty popular.
Yeah.
People were really talking about that one.
And we got Whistlestop expansion.
Yes.
Which, like, to me, I don't think I will play Whistlestop without the expansion now.
So, oh, really?
Rocky
so
Mountains.
I need to try it, huh?
You need to try it. It's
all
pretty
right,
fun.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, we, on our trip, Will was able to wear his Whistle Stop shirt
a real train.
We'll have to hear about Alaska at the end of the episode, but I saw that picture.
That was
pretty cool.
I got to meet the conductor. He was like, nice shirt.
That's cool. Oh, yeah, lots of, like, I can't even think of all the cool things that we saw and met. There was actually a lot of people, games that are prototype form, we got to bring home.
Cool.
And even play some that we weren't able to bring home. One of them was from Jack Bro Games. I want to shout out to them. Their game, how do you spell it? Nouvelle France or something?
Nouveau France.
It's sort of like a Tetris-like game, but it's not like...
Three-dimensional.
It's three-dimensional blocks that you're actually like putting on. It's like pretty cool looking, and it was fun to play.
It's kind of historic. It's kind of like you're building the town, and then the snow comes, and... covers the first layer, so now you're only scoring the second and third layer, and it was all prototype and it was handmade, so
and you
it's
got
like
a copy of it to play.
No,
just got to try while you're there.
Try
okay,
there.
Very cool.
Because I think they're trying to figure out how to manufacture it, so so I don't know. We'll see how that works. I'm looking forward to seeing how they'll do that. So, and then shout out to Derek Funkhauser and Lizzie. Derek, we got to spend some time with them. Strong-armed him into showing his prototype of Fate of the West.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
I saw a picture of that.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I was going to say, I saw pictures.
Yeah, it was fun to play that, and looking forward to seeing what publisher will pick that up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is he showing it there, or is he still working on it? Or?
So I'm sure they're still tweaking things. I think it's pretty much done. I mean, they put a lot of work into it. Like, I'm really impressed.
Pretty polished.
Really impressed. Yeah. It seemed pretty polished. They put a lot of work in. Even, like, the story is coming through in the cards, so...
Oh, that's fun.
What was my favorite? Like, say it, Sarah.
Nick Martinelli wants to know, what was your favorite Gen Con moment and gameplay?
Wow. Like, I feel spent most of the time running around, like, talking to people, meeting people. I really enjoy just teaching people games when we were at CGE. You know, I had a couple of people be like, wow, you were a great teacher. I really understood this game. And I always like to hear
it's really fulfilling.
It's
really
better
fulfilling
than saying, like,
when somebody appreciates what you were doing.
Yeah. Mine was, like, meeting the fans. It was pretty cool just to hang out. And actually, we got to see some behind-the-scenes things going on at Gen Con and hang out with other media folks.
Said you went to several press events. You went to the CMON one. What other ones did you guys go to?
There was...
Too many to remember.
Yeah, too many to think about. But
Forbidden Games.
Forbidden Games had one.
Glen Drover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We weren't able to make it. We were going to go to the Fantasy Flight in-flight report, but didn't make it to that. We probably should have gone because they're giving away copies of KeyForge, which I heard is a pretty popular game. But didn't make it to that. So just too many things to do.
And so then you got sick immediately after? So Melissa was sick actually before.
I was sick before we went. And then I was apologizing to everyone. Yes. I'm like, I'm not contagious. Hack, hack, hack. Really? Sorry. Cough, cough, cough. Yeah. All the people were like, oh, are you okay? I'm so sorry. I'm like,
yeah. Were you guys in? They had a separate demo room, right?
For
CGE.
CGE has, oh, like they weren't even on the vendor hall, in the vendor hall.
I remember last year, whenever I demoed at CGE or at Gen Con, like my voice was just so shot by day two that I'm trying to teach people the game and I'm like, okay, now you do this. It's terrible.
Yeah, CGE's room was pretty quiet compared to that was nice. I actually, this is really weird, but our hotel was the Westin and CGE paid for the room for us. And it was really nice because the Westin was like part of the convention.
Oh, nice.
You can use the sky bridges.
Which was like amazing. Like, I wish we could do that every year.
So basically, I spent the whole convention like telling Kevin, left, not right, left, go this way. I was navigating for him.
Yes. Good, need somebody. Yeah. Live GPS. Yeah. That's where to do it.
It's pretty cool.
Very cool. Well, glad to have you guys back.
Yes, we're back.
We did miss you. The energy is always higher when the whole crew is around. But 52 was a pretty cool episode, and you guys did get to contribute, which was pretty great.
So we did on our low, super low voices.
Yes. The worn out edition of
Kevin
the
imposters, but not real Kevin and Melissa.
Well, I think we covered our shout out to our sponsors in that section. Yes, we talked about several of our favorite crew that we got to see while we were there.
Yeah.
I think we're probably ready to jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
All right, Sarah, why don't you start us off?
All right, coming August 21st is Blackstone Castle, and this is from Dragon Phoenix Games with Harvey and Carly Cornell as the designers.
Cool.
And this is a, can be played either cooperatively or competitively. You lay out a grid of cards and it spells Blackstone Castle around the edge, or Blackstone, excuse me. And you use those letters in the grid to make different
words.
No,
like
you make
TA.
Yeah, so like the S in stone and the B in black make coordinates on the grid.
Oh, to find
things.
And
so you have goals that you're supposed to be working towards and getting a certain number of victory points,
cool.
Getting the correct goals. And then you're kind of building an engine with the cards that you're able to get. So this one is coming August 21st. It's a 2-4 player game and it plays in 30 to 60 minutes.
It's got a cool medieval looking theme to it. And
yeah, I really like the cover. The card art, I'm not sure if the pictures I've found online
are prototype
or if they have new card art coming. That's not quite as amazing as the cover, but we'll see if that's the final art or not.
Cover looks very cool.
Yeah, cover does look very nice. All right, Kevin, what are you talking about?
So we're actually going to go through three games right now.
Three,
all from the same company.
Okay,
Queen Games. So Melissa and I, while we were at Gen Con, always stopped by the Queen Games booth and got to say hi to Travis and the crew there. And they said we got three games coming to Kickstarter. We're like, we can't do three games. Like out of all the games that we got, like dozens and dozens of games at Gen Con, we're like, we can probably do one. So I'm like, so they have three games. They are Skylands, Franchise, and Bastille, and they said, why don't you guys take Skylands, which Katie's about to open here, but and we'll talk about that one first, because since we have it there, but Skylands is a 2-4 player tile-laying game, sort of like Carcassonne style, but it's not like you're all going into the center of the board, everyone has their own island that they're building, and they're putting those tiles on their own island, trying to build the kingdom up, and you're getting resources, and
yeah, I think one of the interesting things is the game has a follow mechanic, kind of like Puerto Rico or Race for the Galaxy, where one player takes an action and gets the best form of that action, and then other players can take that action, but it's a lesser
duplicate, yeah,
form.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of strategy of which actions you take, because you know it could benefit other people by taking them.
But it's nice usually, because those games usually don't have a lot of downtime.
Right.
Is that the case?
Yeah, it's really cool, because like, oh, you're doing the building. Oh, then everyone else can, you know, do it. But they might get a better action as the active player, which is cool.
Cool.
So I enjoyed it. It's a lighter weight game. I wouldn't say super light, but it's a lightweight game compared to the other two. Franchise is for 3 to 5 players, and you're basically starting your own business in a 1960s small town. And he said it feels, if you're going to compare it to a game, it may be like a Power Grid, whereas you're doing some building and things like that as you can sort of like build
expand your franchise.
And it looked cool on the map. It had these like really cool lines and colors. And
does it look like McDonald's, or is it like?
Yeah, like almost like that, but 1960s. So it had like all those stripes.
That is the best McDonald's, actually.
That's true. Yeah, that's really true. And the third game is Bastille, which is for 2 to 4 players, and it's a mix. It's a mix of tile placement and upgrading in a pre-revolution Paris. So I don't really know that much about it. They didn't actually have a copy of that one there, but it sounds cool. And we will get a video preview of Skylands out really soon.
Are these all three coming at the same time?
Yeah, they're one campaign for all three.
Crazy. Okay. So,
whoa.
And we got a copy of Luxor, which we handed off to Will and Sarah.
Yeah, we'll be playing that one really soon.
What happened to the box of that?
We got it because it was Dingendent.
Oh, okay.
It was when they could not sell.
Yeah. I was about to say, the like one corner's crushed on that box.
We'll Photoshop that up. No, we
don't. So going over to Ryan.
I'd like to talk about Welterweights from Spontaneously Combustible Games, designed by Joshua Gardner and Abby Callie. And this game really appealed to me when I first saw it, just because it's, it's not IP, it's a theme that you don't normally see in board games. I mean, you do see, like, martial arts, but not necessarily boxing.
Yeah,
especially not heavyweight.
Yeah. So in Welterweights, it's a card dueling game. You have two decks of cards, one for your left hand, one for your right hand, and you lay out four cards, and you just reveal them one at a time and resolve them one at a time. And
so it's programming?
Yeah, it's a programming game. So you plan out your four moves at a time, and then you have at it and deal amazing combos and duels and stuff. I want it to be like...
Combo Fighter,
but I don't know if it's going to be. I haven't actually seen the cards.
I want it to look like Punch-Out. What does it look like?
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out or the other one?
No, the original NES Punch-Out.
Real quick, while I'm thinking about this, before we move on to Will, speaking of Combo Fighter, we saw Colossal there. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them, Colossal Games. Melissa's wearing a Colossal Games shirt right now. Should have thought about that. But one of their next Kickstarters is Mezzo, and the miniatures look really cool in that. So look forward to Mezzo. It's got what kind of theme would Mezzo be like?
Mesopotamia? I don't know. Yeah. I didn't.
Mesoamerican?
It looked Mesoamerican. So it looked like
pyramids. I don't know what you're talking about, Kevin.
Incan or Aztec.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Colombian.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Mesoamerican.
We're like, we can't read your mind.
Kevin's not talking.
Yeah. Zolkin is the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Welterweights is coming August 20th.
Good.
Will.
So the game I'm looking at is Infinity's Defiance of Fate. It's from designer Stephen Barry. I had a chance to meet him at Dice Tower just recently, and actually we're going to do an interview with him in just a minute, but let me give just a quick overview of the game. It's the idea for the game is basically that you've got this like wormhole time-traveling center tile on the board, and it's like pulling different time zones and different galaxies together, which is pretty cool.
Whoa.
And so you kind of pick your starting deck, and you might be like future robots, or you might be like mystic ancient warriors, because you could be anywhere in this galaxy, which is pretty slick. And so then it's a dice chucking card or tile revealing game as you build out your era that's been sucked through this time hole, and then 1 to 4 players can either, I think it's like a campaign, or you can battle it out with each other. And it's got some pretty cool different little technique, little mechanics going on, the ways that you battle, the way that you move around. It's got a huge full, he's written like an insane amount of backstory on each of the time zones, and so...
An infinite amount?
Yes. Exactly. And he's putting together some really cool stuff there. as far as like the campaign story mode goes too. So a lot of depth, a lot of richness in this game. I think he might have had a Kickstarter before and didn't quite get to the funding level, but he's gone back, polished a lot, added more art and new stuff to the game, and it looks really sharp now. I think it's going to be one of those types of games that people will get together at conventions to play specifically, and they'll like have their race mastered and they'll try to beat each other. And obviously you can pull it out on the table anytime, but it looks really interesting. So from that, let's go ahead and jump into our interview with Steven. Let's welcome him to the house. Hey!
Hey, thanks, Will, for having me on. Doing pretty good. Exhausted, but good.
Yeah, it's been an exciting week. We're nearing the end of Dice Tower Con. I think we've got one day left. And how have the demos been going for you? What's been the response from people to Infinities?
So the first thing that people have responded to is the artwork, like you mentioned. They love it. We have this really cool style. It's halfway between vector and painting, so it's very recognizable, and it's something that definitely stands out. Something else people have been noticing is they like building the worlds because there's so many different locations. There's two sides to all of our hex tiles, so no matter what demo we had, there's always a different world on the table. So when people were walking by, they might have thought, oh, this is a game we play in this Diamond of Hexes. But then the next game, they're like, wait, there's a big line on the table. What's going on here? So just the variance in the game as well that people have been walking by and seeing has been good.
Really cool. Give us kind of a rundown, obviously, since we haven't described the game yet. Mm-hmm. Give us the 5-minute elevator pitch on what Infinities is all about.
So everything in Infinity starts with this rift tile. So this rift is connecting two worlds together in the multiverse. These are divergent timelines from millennia ago that have developed in very different ways. One towards a realm of magic and one towards technology and advancement of their civilization that way. And now they're colliding through this rift. And so the worlds are spilling out of it, and you have fantasy versus sci-fi in a clash of the ages, essentially. In the game, it's quite simple. What you're doing is you're going to roll action dice, and you're going to spend them to move around and explore these worlds, play cards, whether they're actions or units that can join your leader, and also you're going to be attacking each other to try to weaken your enemy's forces as you go along. There's a competitive mode, which is what we've been demoing most of the time, which we call skirmish. There is a learning mode in that built in. And then there is the story mode, which has a multiplayer campaign of branching narrative chapters that have so many innings it's going to take you about 100 hours to complete, in addition to a solo mode, which we've just been introducing here at the convention, another 70 to 100 hours of content there. So in scripted content, you've got about a quarter per hour of gameplay that you're going to spend on Infinities, apart from just playing competitive mode.
And that is really what drew me into the game, because it is ridiculously deep. The storylines, the different races, just the whole idea of the world spilling out of the rift is pretty brilliant. It gives you the opportunity to go wherever you want with this in the future. And that was the thing that got me excited about this game. I don't know that this is like the super mass market appeal type of game, but I think the people who get into this game, I feel like this is one of those, like, a couple years from now, you'll have this sick cult following of all these people who know,
hopefully,
yeah, all the races and have all the histories and the backstories and details. You were showing me your manual. That thing is super thick. Explain the Choose Your Own Adventure thing just a little bit.
Sure. So in each of the chapters, what's going to happen is there's going to be a narrative that's about 500 words or so to get you settled into what's going on. Then there's going to be special rules. So maybe you only play in one world because you're trapped there. The rift is temporarily shut or something like that. And then you'll have objectives for each of the factions. And in each chapter, it might be a co-op chapter, might be a team chapter, it might be a free-for-all chapter, because all hell's broken loose, essentially. You're just trying to survive at that point. So you look at the objectives, you look at the actions, and then based on which objective ends the chapter, you go and read one of four different endings, and then you go get sent to one of four different chapters. So it's a choose-your-own-adventure style story. And along that path, each time you go to a new place, a new chapter, you're going to go to the back of the guide, and there are story threads, which are non-destructive, non-defacing legacy elements that provide consequence and narrative to the story as you go along. They're easily resettable and referenceable, so it's not something that you have to buy a reset kit for, and it's not something that you have to have a huge notebook and keep track of all of this stuff. It's just right there for you.
Man, I love it. I love it. You're doing all the right things with this. The art for it is really, really gorgeous. I noticed there was still some placeholder art, so obviously that's some Kickstarter stuff that needs to be finished. Tell us a little bit about your artist, and are you doing all the writing for the storyline stuff?
So for my artists, yes. So we have a couple of artists on board. Our primary artist is Yella Gatchelain, and she is from the Philippines. Cool. And she is a magician.
Because, Kevin, shout out.
Because, you know, I give her some direction and some reference work, and then we just sort of polish things out, and she basically turns haphazard ideas into brilliant artwork. As far as the writing, yes, I'm the primary writer on this, of course, with my co-designer. We bounce ideas back and forth, but writing the actual prose, that's my field.
Very cool. So let's just be straight up with the audience. You went to Kickstarter with this once, had a pretty lofty goal, and I think you've got a product that's really worth it, but I don't think you had kind of the media coverage maybe that you needed for it. Tell us some of the things that'll be different with this campaign, and then go ahead and jump in and tell us like what your plans are for general timeline and new price point and things like that.
Okay, so for our first campaign, we were running the game at $49. And with that in the current climate at Kickstarter, that comes with the expectation there are miniatures. So as I'm describing this game, which we advertise as a 4X light, you might think, oh, there's going to be miniatures with it, but there aren't. So we're actually going to go at a different price point this time around at $39 on Kickstarter, and we're going to be launching later in August this year. So we'll announce that a little closer to that time. But what's really different between the first Kickstarter and this one is we took a lot of feedback both from potential backers, reviewers that looked at the game, and people who had just play tested it. And we really worked hard on streamlining the experience even more than it already was, because we're trying to make a game that, being 4X Lite, takes all the things that you like about exploring, building an empire, destroying people, and distilling it to its most efficient and streamlined form. So that's what we did after our Kickstarter last time. Was we took a step back and said, what is it that's turning people off of this game? What are the expectations that this game is not meeting? Or what are the things that we're subverting that we shouldn't be subverting? And we adjusted and we pivoted from there. So we have an even better game. Several of the people who reviewed the game previously have played it again. And they said, did you have a developer come in and help you, like a professional, established guy come in? Who was it? And I'm like, no, it was just us. We fixed the things we needed to fix. So you're going to have a much more streamlined game this time around, and for a lower price point as well. So hopefully we'll have a lot more success this time around. The convention attendance, that's just the cherry on top, just to get it in front of more people physically.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent plan. Excellent progress. I think this is really exciting stuff. Thanks so much for the opportunity to play with you. Tell these guys a little bit, like, where can they find you on the social medias and good stuff like that, so they can get a look at Infinities. Where's the best place?
So our website is vatales.com. That's V-A-T-A-L-E-S. You can find us on Twitter and on Facebook at Infinities D-O-F.
And Defiance of Fate.
That's right, Defiance of Fate. Because the whole idea is, yes, there's dice, but you get to defy the fate that's dealt to you through those dice.
What? I just got it. That's awesome.
You just got, and the Infinities.
I mean, oh, I did get that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So the whole title is, I guess, a pun.
Very punny. And then you're probably on Board Game Geek as well, I assume?
Yes, we are on Board Game Geek, so you can just search Infinities on there and you'll find us. We're also on Tabletop Simulator and on Tabletopia. If you'd like to try the free demo, you can do that anytime. And if you'd like, you can message me on either of our socials and I'll do a demo with you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Steven. That was really cool. You guys definitely go check out Infinities. It is definitely worth your eyeballs and very likely your wallets if it looks like something that you would be into. Thank you so much, Steven. We'll catch you on the next time. And good luck, man. Let us know how the campaign goes.
Will do. Thanks, Will.
Bye. Really cool talking to Steven, learning about Infinities. Good luck with that campaign. Hope it goes really well. I think we left out a game, though, from our Kickstarter.
We did.
You want to give us the rundown on one more?
Yes. So we are fans of Red Raven Games.
Yeah.
And just saw on Twitter that they are launching a second edition to The Ancient World, which came out back in 2014, so about 4 years ago. And it's a strategy game that is for 2 to 4 players, and it plays in about an hour and a half. So, I mean, beautiful artwork, and yeah, it looks really cool. So, it's got a civilization sort of fantasy realm to it. So, look forward to the second edition of The Ancient World.
So, there was a first edition?
There was. So that's why they did the second edition.
How come I haven't heard of
that? That's how it goes.
It was 4 years ago. You're
second
always
edition comes
new
after the first
new stuff. It is. It's sometime next week.
Keep
an eye out.
Yeah. But this is, which is this week for those listening.
Gotcha. Keep an eye out sooner. So we got a new thing this year.
What?
Welcome to season 2, or whatever you call it in podcast land.
Year 2.
Yeah, year two. Larry, the intern.
Larry the intern!
Who you've probably seen in some of our video reviews, and he's done a couple interviews with us. He has put together a new segment that is interesting. We'd love your feedback on us. Let us know what you think about it. So we're going to kick it over right now to Larry and see what he's got in store.
The 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
Today on the timeout, we're looking at Tempura from Swan Panasia Games and Yellow Games. Yep, you heard it right. The game's title is a pun. Ugh. How many great game titles are puns? Catan? No. Ticket to Ride? Nope. And Dominion? Not even close. Get this, the tagline? Not any better. It's more than a meowful. Unreal. Alright, let's move on to the theme. Yes, it's all about who can stuff their cat without making it too sick. That is disgusting. I don't care how cute you think kittens may be, but getting joy out of stuffing them until they're almost sick? Sick. Finally, the ending condition is, and I'm not making this up, who gets indigestion not once, not twice, but yes, three times? I have lost my appetite. That's disgusting. I'll give Swan Panasia Games this. The artwork is beautiful, and the rules are simple and concise. However, Tempura gets 3 chunky hairballs out of 5. Blech!
Looks like we might have to put Larry into timeout.
It'll be interesting to see what future stuff he has in store for us. I know he's been digging around the backside of our closet trying to find the games that he can tell his honest truth about. Yeah.
Larry's a good ranter.
He's a good.
Yeah, ranter. We'll see what he comes up with.
Cool, that'll be fun.
Hey, Will and Sarah.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina.
I was going to say the States, but you were never...
The continental U.S.
We were barely out for just a little while.
We left into Canada twice.
Okay.
So, yeah.
A little Vancouver action. We just got back. My dad just retired from the military, and he was inactive.
In the military?
Retirement, or reserves, and also celebrating his 40th wedding anniversary, so he invited us all to join him for a little Alaskan getaway. So we cruised for the last week. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We were recounting it a little bit with you guys because I think it was a similar...
Yeah, similar experience. Melissa and I did it last summer.
All right, so next summer, you guys.
Ryan and Katie with the baby.
Somebody's going to be taking care of the baby while we're gone.
We got it. We can handle that. It was a fantastic trip. We got to cover a lot of ground. We visited with some friends in Monterey that we haven't seen since we graduated from school,
that's
basically.
Cool. Yeah.
We actually got to play...
Pandemic Legacy with them.
What?
We only played the first...
Like the season one?
Yes.
When are we going to buy season two is my question.
Well, they actually had listened to our show and bought it on our recommendation. Then they were like, hey, maybe you guys could teach us how to play it while you're here.
Okay.
So then we did that poorly.
It's been a while.
It's been so long since we played Pandemic.
We forgot one crucial step and then lost horribly.
Well, okay, so in my defense...
There's no defense.
Yes. Ryan was always the one to pull all the stuff out of the box. Whoa. That was get to this point in the game, reveal this card. And Ryan always did that.
I'm used to it.
Yeah. No, Ryan did a great job doing that, and I totally forgot. So we played the whole first game, and you were supposed to reveal more cards, and we didn't.
She always stopped,
we
the second
may
the
have done
card.
That the first time. We
So we played the base game basically.
Yeah,
with
which
them,
is all right.
Which
fun.
Is okay because they now they know how to play, and they're going to play with their kids.
Yeah, so that was cool. We got them started and hooked up on that. Then we got to see San Francisco, which was fantastic. Then we headed to.
We saw Pebble Beach and Highway 1 in California first, and then we headed up to Vancouver.
Jumped on the boat,
yep.
Met up with my fam, and had a fantastic trip.
Yeah,
traveling around the glaciers.
Yeah, our favorite part was we got to hike on Mendenhall Glacier near Juneau,
cool.
Which was definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah, breathtaking vistas. Really cool experience. It's one of those things where the only way to get to the glacier is either by helicopter or by boat. And the boats, they don't allow to have motor vehicles on the lake.
So you have to row
for an hour.
Oh my goodness.
To get there.
Yeah, it was
so
2.5 miles to the glacier.
Did y'all row or did
we rowed.
Yes.
You didn't take a helicopter?
We rowed our hearts out.
You don't actually get a hike as much using the helicopter. You get dropped off a little further up where there's more snow instead of just...
So it's more ice. Like being on a snowy mountain. We actually hiked up from the the beach side up through the brown, ugly ice all the way up to the really cool beautifulness.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah.
We got to get fresh glacier water, which only a handful of people get to do because they don't let you do it unless it's running.
Yeah.
And so we got, we filled up our little flasks and we brought it home. The cool thing about glacier water is it never gets warm.
That doesn't sound good at all.
I don't understand
how water works.
It's like H3.
Okay, well, that's at least what our kids thought. Because I had stuck it in the fridge.
How many people have believed
and then they're like, it's still cold from the glacier. Yeah,
it's so cold. Something is wrong. You should not drink that water.
I've told everyone this, and at least everybody pauses for a moment, for real?
No. I was wondering how dumb you were.
Is that what the pause is?
I was sort of. I was sort of thinking, I wonder who told him that.
Like, Will's really gullible.
My kids were like,
I should be winning more games against you.
My kids were totally on board. And then Liam said, even if you microwave it? I was like, you got me. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But we also got to go into a cave in the glacier, which was also very cool.
That produced some really awesome photos.
Very cool.
It did. So, it was a lot of fun.
That's one thing that we maybe regret a little bit is not doing more excursions, which I'm glad you guys were able to do some.
Yeah, so. It was fun. It was very memorable, very cool. It was also very nice to just get home to our own bed and our kiddos. We were gone for 2 weeks. Shout out to all the nice people and relatives and neighbors who watched them for us while we were away.
Yes.
So what were you guys up to tonight? Because you were a little late rolling in.
Talking
Tell
to Ryan and Katie.
Recent adventures.
Yeah, we were at home. Not as cool as Gen Con or Alaska.
Studio awesome, but okay.
But a group of friend of ours, I can't say words right now.
You have
Katie
Kevin
has
syndrome right now.
Some really good friends who just got engaged. Her best friend's fiance is running a RPG for us over the internet.
Pathfinder.
Just audio using Mumble.
Cool.
So we're in the land of Hyphan Tonar or something.
Ooh, sounds.
And Katie is a huge half-orc barbarian lady. And
is that
am,
because she's pregnant? Or is that
yes. She's channeling her pregnancy rage. And I
That's
am this
it.
Small frog-like person who's a
bounty hunter.
And just shenanigans. We got transported in time onto a spaceship or something tonight. And we were fighting robots. It was really weird.
I thought we were going to pull
Ryan's
out
dreams.
Starfinder
yeah,
rules
much.
And start playing Starfinder when he introduced the,
That's cool.
Time continuum issues that were happening. And I was what's going on here? So we have no idea where the storyline's going.
We also got to play some fun rounds of Adult. It's a real-time
Sounds risky,
tactical strategy game that you play just every day. When you guys were at Gen Con and Alaska, we had a tree branch fall on our roof.
Oh.
We got to experience water damage and repairing all that.
Did
it was
you roll
fun.
Critical hits?
Critical
for the
fail.
Roof.
It was a critical fail at our house. Yeah, we also went and did some promotional filming at our venue.
Yeah, we hadn't actually been there in person.
Is it cool?
We'd only seen pictures. So taking some film, it was very very neat. Cool. I was excited. I had your pictures hadn't done justice area. It's really
there
cool.
was a lot of neat things, and we kept trying to go outside to get some filming and do stuff, and it was super hot, and we kept saying, "Well, it's not going to be this warm in February." Ryan's sweating in the video, and he's "Well, it won't be this warm in February, so it'll be nice when you sit out here."
So Ryan don't have a nice glisten in the videos.
Yeah, but they have an area with not fire pits, but
an outdoor patio.
Yeah, braziers or whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
And so that'll be nice in February.
Yeah.
Does Ben feel like he got enough stuff for the?
I think so.
Cool.
Yeah, and then we went downtown, and we were able to show him some neat things that are around downtown Spartanburg.
Like monsoon noodle. Apparently, I said that too many times to him. Yeah. But he did come with that.
I remember monsoon noodle. Yes.
So
we'll look forward to seeing the
what do we call
promo video? Yeah. I guess. Promo commercial
for Tantrum Con.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Ben's trying to wrap it up this week, so it may even be live by the time this goes out. Tickets will go on sale in September.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we talked, we should chat a little bit, not naming people's names, yes. But it sounded like Gen Con was very profitable.
So we did talk to a lot of people and a lot of publishers and a lot of just guests who were like, Tantrum Con? And they're like, let's go to Tantrum Con in February. So we've got people that are definitely want to come and hang out.
I will admit that as he gave me the list of people that were interested in coming, I was getting a little giddy. I was like, they want to come? They're going to come too?
What? Yeah. Awesome.
So
yeah, so we'll definitely put together a guest list and get some logo sponsors from all the people that are coming as soon as we finalize all those details, which we'll hopefully do ASAP. Because, yeah, tickets will go on sale soon, and we would love to be able to tell you guys all the plans for Tantrum Con.
Yeah,
February something-something.
15th, 16th, 17th. Did you guys hear that?
The day after Valentine's Day.
There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
President's
do you think
weekend?
We might do, like, a podcast recording during the show?
Might as well.
Or, during the con, most
or
definitely.
Or video recording.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of live stuff.
Yeah. Too. Let us know what sort of programming you might be interested in. Like panels or guest speakers or shenanigans.
I'd love to do some, like, live review type stuff. Like, give you the floor if you're a designer that has a game and is interested in showing it to us. I think that'd be kind of cool.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you going to make us play live games, like game show
like
stuff?
You know, yes. I don't know, but hopefully.
I did just say, Will and I didn't get a whole lot of time on our cruise to play board games, but we did make it onto the game show on the
cruise.
We made it up on stage and we won.
Congrats.
Felt like
we were the Midlyweds. That's the people that are married in the
married game
area.
Like, not too young, not too old.
So there actually were some younger people than you on the boat?
Yes. We're on the Princess Cruise Line. There was, they had a newlywed, a midlywed, and then an oldlywed, and we crushed them.
Yes.
Good job, guys.
So you did better than you do in the couples collision.
Correct.
Yes.
That was good practice.
I was worried. They called us up on stage, and I was like, oh, no. And then there was a question where it was like, if you were deserted on an island with one of your family members, who would you not choose? And Will's entire family is sitting in the audience. And I was like, whose family? His family? And they're like, no, your family. Oh, good. They're not here.
And they don't listen to our podcast, hopefully.
Hey, I'm not saying.
That's so awful.
Oh, man. So much fun. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. I think we covered a lot of fun ground tonight. Let us know. We'd love your feedback on Larry's segment, on what you guys want to see at Tantrum Con, and anything else you want to tell us about.
Yep.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!